thank you. That was really nice. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. What a beautiful morning. Sun shining, cool. Had that killing frost. Did you have it out on your side? Yeah, good. No more bugs the rest of the summer. You don't think so, huh? It's nice to have you here. Thanks to everyone who helped out with the beef and corn feed yesterday. Great time. People worked well together. I only saw smiles. I didn't see any tears. And that happens in some churches, you know. But I didn't see it here. And I hope you had a good time. It brings our congregation together when we can serve together. And there were some folks, you know, that came in from across the way, fishermen and some older gentlemen that came from the countryside and sat down and visited. And someone who I didn't even know, I must have said something, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. He says, I'm quoting you still to this day. I says, really, what are you quoting me for? He says, you said at one service years ago, it's funny how a $20 bill looks so small on a Saturday night and how it looks so big on a Sunday morning. I said that? What are you laughing about? You know, those fives and tens are no good anymore. Anyway, thanks for doing that. Church growth studies say that every congregation, if you want to grow, you need 10 major events in a congregation. Easter and Christmas are two of them, so you really need 8. So think about all the things we do, and you know, Vacation Bible School and the Jamboree and the Bazaar and all the rest. You guys really do well, and it's important that we work together. So thanks. Only one announcement. Tomorrow, our friend, we're going to say farewell to our friend Bill Wario, who passed away. 1:30 service. It's really a shock for us to see and hear about Bill's passing. But you know what? Bill lived life big. He lived life on his terms. And if you'd ask him, he wouldn't change anything. People we have to be concerned about is Judy, you know, so let's surround her with our love. But Bill, he loved life on his terms. And if you and I can live as well as he did, doing what he dreamed, you know, can't do any better than that. So keep Judy and the family in our prayers, okay? Tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, we'll have the funeral. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely to the beginning of this day. We thank you for the joys that you have granted to each one of us, family and friends who love us, country, place where we live, where people come to vacation. We thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus, for his teaching us how to live. We thank you for the promise of life in the age to come. We pray that we might live big today. And so we gather this morning to say our prayers, to sing these wonderful hymns, and to hear your word. So stir our hearts with your Spirit. Send your Spirit, Lord, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 856. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
I see the stars.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the community of heaven. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh.
God, we live in the distractions of a society filled with entertainment. We can best be carried heavy burdens which cannot be covered with laughter.
Blessed are you when people hate you on account of Christ. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. God, we so desire the approval of others. We confess we want it to be easy and socially acceptable to follow you. Forgive our sin and bless us with your love. God in Christ Jesus has forgiven our sin and turned our world upside down. The values we hold so dear have been boldly rearranged by the Son of God. And we now live in a daily relationship of love for the world and each other. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus provides the means by which our sins are forgiven. We can live through the laughter and the pain of each day because God in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, blesses us. Praise God for the blessing of life.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join together in the prayer of the day. Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. you, Darwin, and the bell choir. That was beautiful. First lesson today is from Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15 and 16 through 19. Paul warns his congregation in Colossae about the empty lure of philosophies and traditions that compromise faith. Through the gift of faith, the church is mystically connected with Christ in his death and resurrection, which is enacted in baptism. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh through in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave all of us our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. And our psalm today is Psalm 138. Please respond in the bold print, and where there is a bold R, repeat the refrain, "Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength when in me.
All the rulers of the earth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord. That great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high and cares for the holy, perceiving the haughty from afar. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Here ends the readings. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 10th Sunday after the Pentecost is found in the 11th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the first verse. In teaching his disciples this prayer, Jesus also reminds them to focus on God's coming reign, God's mercy, and the strengthening of the community. Jesus encourages his disciples to childlike trust and persistence in prayer. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was digging through my papers this week, and I found a story that caught my attention. In 1996, there was a fellow by the name of Eduardo Sierra, Spaniard, who was traveling through Sweden, and he had to stop and do a business deal, so it was pleasure and work. But he thought before the business deal, he would go into a church they had in Sweden there and say some prayers and get his head screwed on straight. So went into the sanctuary about 9 o'clock in the morning. No one else was there. Big, one of those big, big Swedish churches. But in front there was a coffin. So he went up and said his prayers, and then he said a prayer for who was ever in the coffin and signed the guest register. And he left and did his business deal. Well, a couple months later, he got in the mail a certified letter, and inside was a check for over $1 million. And he thought, what's this all about? And there was a note saying that this man who had died didn't have any heirs, and he had stipulated in his will that whoever would be the first one to pray for his mortal soul would receive this $1 million. And I'm thinking, you know what? Why doesn't God answer my prayers when I ask to hit the lottery? I mean, we need the senior high rise, huh? Them Trandalls, you wouldn't have to move. You could just stay right here, and I could hound you forever. You know. Prayer doesn't work like that. Yesterday, I officiated at a wedding out at one of the farms in the countryside, and young couple, and I said, well, I'll take care of the weather for you. So I'm looking up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, please help me out here. Work with me, work with me. And during the service, of course, it sprinkled, and I just called them showers of blessings and tried to make a good thing about it. But sometimes we pray and things don't happen like we want. And so in our gospel lesson today, we have Jesus. He, whenever he got tired, whenever he got worn out, or maybe he just made it a discipline every day that he would say some prayers, talk to his Lord. And so the disciples see how important prayer is to Jesus. And so when he comes back to him, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John taught his disciples, teach us to pray. And because they saw how important prayer was. And then Jesus leads the disciples in probably the most important prayer that has ever been prayed. So Jesus says, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. This is Luke's version, huh? The version you and I usually say comes from Matthew. It's a little bit longer. It comes in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. Luke, they call this the Sermon on the Plain, which is a collection of probably Jesus' best sayings. That's what they put in this Sermon on the Plain. Note how the Master begins by focusing our attention on God. When you pray, say, Father. Now, this is important because I have never read a prayer before Jesus who started a prayer saying, Father. Imagine that. This is the creator of the universe. This is the creator of the rains and the storms and the seas and the animals and the people and, you know, the planets and the universe. And Jesus is bold enough to say, Father. And it makes it personal, like God cares, like God is close, like God will always be with us and love us and protect us. And so that's what he teaches about his discussion with prayer, huh? This is a revolutionary statement, that statement of faith that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's bold enough to call the creator of the universe Father. And then he uses an antiquated word, an old word, hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. The dictionary defines hallowed or hallowed as sanctified, consecrated, or highly venerated. And I'm thinking, you know, is there anything that's sanctified, consecrated, highly venerated in our world today too much? I was watching the ball game last week, and they played the national anthem. You remember the days when you were young, when the flag went by and people took their hats off and put their hands on their hearts? The flag was venerated. Now you look around and people are talking and chewing gum and not really paying attention. The Sabbath was hallowed, was holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was venerated, lifted up. Now in some states it's the biggest shopping day in the week. Remember the days when you go to a courtroom, you were quiet and respectful? Nowadays, you see, it's quite often you have to tape the mouth shut of the defendant and sometimes tie his hands down. Even our court system has lost some of that respect. It's not venerated. It's not hallowed anymore. So there's something wrong, it seems like, with our society. Anyway, as I think back, I'm not sure we have all the respect that we've had before. So Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. He lifts God up. Isaiah, if you read the book of Isaiah, he fell down when he was in the presence of God and cried out, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have beheld the Lord. And he falls down and he takes off his shoes and he knows he's in the presence of holiness. And Jesus shares some of Isaiah's sense of awe here. He could call God Father, though, because he knew of God's love. He knew of God's promise. But he knew that he was the great I Am that was all through the Old Testament. So he taught his disciples to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. And he teaches us to begin our prayers that way too. Notice what he says next. He says, your kingdom come. Any place God moves in human affairs, we want God's will to be done. Because we know that he wants the best for his creation. That's a theology that I hold. And that's the theology that Jesus holds. God, he knows that God wants the best for his people, no matter where they are. Some of the ancient manuscripts, like Matthew's Gospel, say, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we include this in the Lord's Prayer. But our focus is on God. It's on focus that God is good, that God wants best for his children. Seems like our chief problem is we want God to focus on my kingdom, like, take care of the weather, Lord. Or, let me hit the lottery, Lord, please. But I know there's going to be as much damage coming hitting the lottery as there is good stuff that happens. And he knows that. Not my will, but your will. Remember that was Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? He says, take this cup from my lips, but not my will, but your will, Lord. That's the prayer that Jesus wants us to have. All prayer is based on the goodness of God. We can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, because we know it's always God's will for what's best for his children. And Jesus tells us, you know, if your kid asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a serpent or a scorpion or a stone. But basically, Jesus is saying, God, our Father, is the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the Father of all that is, and his nature is love. God loves you. God wants the best for you. And we need to see that if God's will is done, then we're going to receive everything we need. If we follow God, Jesus says later on, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what we should be about, and all these things will be given to you as well. Read a story about a boy. He once said to God, I've been thinking and I know what I want to become when I become a man. And he proceeded to give his list of things he wanted. He wanted to live in a big house with two St. Bernards and have a garden. He wanted to marry a tall, blue-eyed, beautiful woman. He wanted to have three sons. One would be a senator, one that would be a scientist, one that would be a quarterback. He also wanted to be an adventurer who climbed mountains, and he wanted to drive a red Ferrari. So as it turned out, the boy hurt his knee while he was playing football, and he no longer could climb trees, let alone climb mountains. He married a beautiful, kind woman, but she happened to be short with brown eyes. Because of his business, he ended up living in the city in an apartment there. Not a big house with a big garden. So he took cabs and he rode subways, not that sleek, expensive Ferrari that he had dreamed about. He had three loving daughters, not three sons. One was a nurse, one was an artist, one was a music teacher. And they adopted not two St. Bernards, but one small, fluffy cat. Well, one morning the man awakes and he remembers his boyhood dream and his prayers, and he becomes extremely depressed and he calls out to God. He says, remember when I was a boy and told you that all that I wanted, why didn't you give me those things? And God said to him, you know, I could have, but I wanted to make you happy. You know, it's a wise person who realized that the kindest thing God does for some of us is not to answer all of our prayers. When you pray, trust God that he knows what's best for you, that he knows your needs. And so Jesus begins with God. That's where we should begin too, with God, not about our problems, not about our wants, not about our needs. We begin with God and we thank him for what we have and what he's done for us. He knows our needs. He knows the source of our love. He's our hope for a better life. He's the Lord of all creation and will never give a scorpion to you and me. He'll always give us good food and good drink. And then Jesus says, next, give us each day our daily bread. It's interesting how much Jesus had to say about our physical needs in this prayer. Only one line, and it's less than a quarter of the prayer. That's not to say that our daily bread isn't important. It is. We need to be healthy and whole to function well in society. No question about that. And in our families. And it's perfectly legitimate to share your cares and concerns and needs and hurts and heartbreaks and all of that. It's God's will that we share our physical concerns with Him. So that's why Jesus includes this. But our physical well-being is just a part of our deepest needs. Jesus is saying, focus on God and His kingdom. Give priority to His priorities, and then He will provide all we need for our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. Give us each day our daily bread, we say. Our physical needs are important, and we take them to God. Then He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. That's probably the hardest thing about this prayer. Forgiving someone who has wronged us is really a tough thing to do. But I hope you see that no matter how eloquent your prayers are, you can't be spiritually whole until you've forgiven the people who have hurt you or harmed you or accused you. I've got a friend who is a counselor, and he is part of a group called Divorce Recovery. He says that the major breakthrough of those people who are divorced is when they decide to forgive their former spouses, even if their former spouses don't think they need forgiveness. He says forgiving others is one of the most therapeutic exercises you or I can ever engage in. Heard a story about a small church in a small town. Toward the conclusion of the service, an older lady walked in, and she was crying, and she begged forgiveness of all the congregation. She sat down in one of the front rows. Her husband had murdered two of the people in the church in that small town. The woman that she sat in front of, her husband and son had been murdered. They had gone to trial. There had been an electric chair. This woman hadn't been in church, and the congregation was wondering, what's going to happen now? And at the end of the service, after this gal had cried and said she was sorry, the lady who had lost her husband and son reached over and put her hand on this lady's shoulder and said, I'm glad you've come back to be with us in church. And this lady who forgave her said that this is the best I felt in years after the forgiveness was given. We don't forgive the other person for their sake. We forgive people for our sakes, because it's like a cancer we carry around if we don't forgive. So Jesus says, this is part of a prayer too. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then He closes by saying, and lead us not into temptation. I wonder if He says, well, maybe just a little temptation is okay. I mean, no one likes a saint. Have you ever met a perfect person? I was going to say you haven't met my wife, but I better not say that today. I tease about that, and I tease her about that, and she teases me. But this temptation business, if you don't want to be tempted, you don't have to be. You ask God to take you away from it, and He'll take you away from it. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew adds, huh? You know that He'll deliver us from temptation if we ask Him. If you really want Him to help, His main concern is for our best good, and He'll lead us away. So what are the keys to an effective prayer? The disciples say, Jesus, teach us to pray. Focus on God and His goodness and His love. Ask for your physical needs, but remember your spiritual needs as well. Your need for forgiveness should be included there, and your need to forgive others, and then your need to be kept from temptation. And so when you pray, Jesus said, pray like this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, For we also forgive anyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. And it was the early church that added those last lines with which we complete the Lord's Prayer. But they represent the culmination of everything we will believe about our loving God. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's join in singing our sermon hymn 756. We'll ask the ushers to receive our morning offering. Rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray. God of all creation, we are yours and all we have belongs to you. Accept these offerings and bless their use and your work among us. Amen. Confident in God's compassionate rule and enduring love, let us lift up the needs of the church, the world, and all of creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Unite your people under the banner of Christ. And give them boldness and persistence in working to fulfill your purposes throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, bless the earth with favorable weather and encourage our efforts to join your creative work in raising plants and animals, flowers and fruit. Lord, in your mercy, watch over farmers, firefighters, gardeners, lifeguards, construction workers, police officers, and all who work outdoors to protect and provide for us. Lord, in your mercy, open our hearts to those who are lost or seeking, and help us to be caring and generous to all who ask for understanding, wholeness, and healing. We especially remember in our prayers Mary England, Bob Vorlachek, Clarence Berman, Ruth Parsons, Mel Hammond, and those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Renew our appreciation for the artists and musicians in this parish. Bless their gifts that broaden and deepen our praise and thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings you have granted to each one of us, especially for your Spirit that moves in our hearts and in our lives. We ask your blessing to be with Judy Wario today as she mourns the loss of her husband. Comfort her and her family as they take care of their duties this week. Walk with them in a very close way. Be with the Trandalls as they continue to pack. Watch over and protect them. Be with the Carlsons as they pack and travel to Norway. Give them safe passage. And Lord, we ask that you might watch over our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. Allow them to know of your love and your forgiveness, the joy and the hope and the peace that you bring. We praise you for all the lives of your saints. Bring us at the last to the fullness of death and life in Christ, in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, hear the cries of your people and answer us according to your steadfast love. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's join together in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.